Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Veronica Casara was born in 1982 in Bolzano, Italy. In 2010, she completed her studies in directing at SELIC, School for Documentary Film. Her short films have been shown at numerous national and international festivals. In 2018, Veronica's first feature-length documentary, Überall wo wir sind, Everywhere we are, celebrated its world premiere at the Berlinale. Her latest film, Simon Messner, Aus dem Schatten, premieres on the 2nd of July at the Filmfest Munich, with a theatrical release in Germany and Austria on July 7, 2026. Veronica lives and works in Berlin. We talked to her via video call for this interview. Veronica Casara, welcome to Deep Dive.
Hello. Thank you, Christine, for having me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. Your film, Simon Messner, Aus dem Schatten, the premiere at this year's Munich Film Festival. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And before we talk about the film, I have a few questions about you and your work. Can you tell us a bit about your journey to becoming a director?
Yeah, I think in my life, it wasn't written that I would become a director. Mm-hmm. I grew up on a mountain farm in northern Italy in South Tyrol, and we didn't have a television until I was 11.
Oh, okay.
But my parents, they had this typical Dörkelehof, which meant that there would be a lot of very different kind of people coming to eat at our farm. And I remember from being a very small child, I really enjoyed sitting in a corner and watching these people, watching their behaviors and watching them in different kinds of situations. And I think there it started already, this kind of deep interest in humans and how do they react in certain kind of situations. Well, my life was really not very linear altogether. I left my home and school when I was 15 without the consent of my parents. I then traveled for many years all over Europe with a stop in the US, and I ended up in London. Okay. When I was 25, my mom became very ill. Mm. And I immediately returned to South Tyrol to be next to her, yeah. Not knowing then that she would have 6 months to live.
Oh, wow.
In this 6 months, I believe in destiny, I must say. I stumbled upon an application ad by Film mm-hmm. School Zelig in Bozen. And I decided to apply for this school.
Yeah.
Within 24 hours, the whole application was done. And I was very lucky that they believed in me and they took me as a student. And 2 weeks before film school started, my mother died. For me, it was overwhelming. I was very young. It all felt like, you know, my whole life kind of fell apart. But at the same time, something new started. And I realized all these years of, you know, wandering around, traveling around, partying a lot, you know, having different friends, living in different countries. It all kind of turned into a new life, which was more meaningful. Mm-hmm. It suddenly made sense to me. You know, all these different people I met in my life, it all came to a somehow positive ending, although it was hell on earth initially. But it turned out to be a good thing, actually going through this grief. That's how I became a director, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That is a very dramatic and emotional director's journey.
Yeah.
Talking about, you know, watching all these people coming to your parents' mountain farm, how do you choose the stories or your projects? What speaks to you and what makes you want to commit to them?
Yeah, that's a very good question. There are a lot of things. I'm a very curious person, I would say, altogether. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is, does it challenge me? Does it challenge me and my own point of view? And is there something that is not actually my point of view? Mm-hmm. Can I discover something in this topic or in this person that is really challenging me? this is very fascinating. Where are the gray areas in the topic? Or where are the gray areas within a person? And the next step is also always, how can I tell it through film? How can I make it visible in a film? And that is very challenging because I'm attracted to the subtle gray zones, subtle emotions, which I think a lot of people don't even recognize sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I try to make them visible. And another thing would be, I'm drawn to taboo topics. Mm-hmm. Taboos are here to be broken. You know, the ice needs to be broken. We need to talk about it more. I think that's healthy, and that's one of my goals in life.
Fascinating. And how did this project come to you? At which point did you become involved in Aus dem Schatten?
To make a long story short, last winter I spent 3 months in India together with my small kids and my husband. Mm-hmm. And I got a call from Georg Churchenthaler, which is the producer and the co-writer of the project.
Yeah.
And he called me, "Veronica, we need you here in Berlin. When are you coming back? Can you direct a mountain movie?" And I was like, okay, I never shot a mountain movie before in my life. I have a huge fear of heights. Plus, I'm not climbing.
Yeah.
I'm not a climber at all. And I didn't know anything about, like, very little about the Wesner family.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it sounded like a perfect challenge, to be honest. And also shooting in my home region, Southtirol, was a big plus as well. Because living in Berlin since 12 years now, I start missing it sometimes.
Yeah.
As soon as I came back, like one day after the flight back, we had a meeting already. And we started working on this project together.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, South Tyrol is a very, very special region and very special landscape. If I remember correctly, I think I read in one interview with Simon Messner that he is also afraid of heights. So that's...
Yes.
Exactly. Like a perfect fit.
For me, it was like, how can he be afraid of heights and do these walls, like steep, very steep, high walls? And I am not even able to live on the fourth floor of a house in Berlin and feel already this fear of heights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is something that made me interested in Simon. How did he succeed? How can he deal with it?
Yeah. The focus of our 10th podcast season is documentary film. As we talked about earlier, the film focuses on an intense year of Simon's life. And the personal is, of course, always important in a larger societal context as well. I mean, with any film, but I think with documentaries especially, they're inspired by, or rather about, real people and events. How hard was it for you and your co-writer to go about finding a balance on, like, where to put the right tone or where to put the focus, especially if it's such an intense year where a lot happens?
It was a bit tricky because this documentary film was clearly supposed to be a mountain film. Mm-hmm. It was sold as an adventure. Climbers go into the wild, into the unknown. They face a lot of life-threatening situations. We don't know what is going to happen with them. And we will very likely take home breathtaking pictures of wild nature, large glaciers, some high mountains. For me, this was not enough. I was like, okay, so what is the film really about?
Yeah.
But I agreed on this with the producer. We kind of talked about it for a few times. And when I learned that Simon became a father himself for the first time, I could see what is the interesting, one of the interesting stories of this film. Because for me, when I became a mom for the first time, a lot of things changed, actually. For example, my fear of height. I didn't have it before. I was in the mountains and I felt very, very much like at home in the mountains. And now I kind of have, you know, a few fears suddenly. And I think it's connected, for me, it's connected to becoming a mother. This was one of the interesting things. And the other one was, I did some research on the Messner family.
Yeah.
And I learned also, when talking to Simon, of course, I learned about his rather complicated relationship with his father. Also there, I could see an interesting subject because I feel or I know from my, you know, friends, family and surroundings that quite a lot of adult children have complicated relationships with their parents. This is not unique.
Yeah.
This is something universal. And this is what, you know, what I'm, of course, looking for. What is the universal topic in a documentary film? And what goes beyond an adventurous Great Mountain movie to make it more interesting for a larger audience?
Yeah. And so did you go about mapping this out before you started shooting, or did you adjust while you were shooting, depending on what happened in Simon's life?
Both of it, I would say. You start the project doing some research, and I always shoot already. I shoot from the beginning. I never have a conversation with the protagonist without the camera. So this is part of the research, and I might use it in the film. Of course, my protagonists know that, but I think it's both. Life is unpredictable, you know? Of course, we have to stay flexible, and there will be surprises, and you can plan the whole movie. And from my experience, I know a lot of plans can crash in a second, but something new, something maybe even more interesting can come out of this crash. And you didn't expect it, but you have to be open, and you have to be there in the moment to see it and to follow it. And I think flexibility is something very, very useful if you are a documentary filmmaker.
Yeah. Obviously, you mentioned that you were told right away that this is a film that will feature a lot of shooting in nature and mountains. How did you plan the shots and frames for these portions of the film? Or is that even possible? I mean, given that life and nature are so unpredictable.
Yeah, it's interesting to shoot in nature. You never know what's going to happen. Yeah. You depend a lot on the weather. It can be really unsafe to be up in the mountains and a thunderstorm. There is a lot of planning and a lot of luck as well. And for example, we had a huge, like a big shooting day planned in the Dolomites. Simon was supposed to be there. His mentor and climbing friend, Hans-Peter Eisenler, was supposed to be there. Four camera crew, myself and two other assistants were supposed to be there. And we had to cancel it 12 hours before shooting started because of the weather forecast. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And even if you are up in the mountains, you don't know, because it can be like,
yeah, it can change on a
yeah, exactly, it can change quickly. But that's the adventure about it, and I must say I enjoy it not to know what will happen in the next hour.
Okay, can you tell us your favorite scene or shot maybe from the film, and give our listeners a bit of behind the scenes background without giving away too much, obviously, if you can?
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, that this question is interesting because there is always a lot of interesting stuff going on behind the scenes, of course. But I wouldn't say it's my favorite scene, but it's the scene where one day I realized, like I truly and deeply realized, what kind of adventure Simon is going to have. Before that day, I was like, oh yeah, he's going to Pakistan. He will try to climb an unclimbed mountain. Yeah, so why not? It's interesting, but, you know, I wasn't aware of the threat.
Yeah, the danger, yeah.
The danger and the threat, yeah. We were shooting with him. We were traveling to Bavaria. He was up to meet Alexander Huber, which is one of the most well-known German climbers. I think he is the best one, together with his brother. And he was an idol of Simon when he was a teenager. He even had his poster in his sleeping room. Very exciting shooting day in front of us. And then we switched on the radio and learned that Laura Dahlmeier, a German biathlete, very successful biathlete and mountaineer, had a severe accident in the Karakoram region in Pakistan, not far away from the mountain where Simon was supposed to climb his mountain for the first time. The whole atmosphere, and we were shooting, you know, you have to imagine us shooting with him. We heard it, and Simon was reacting very emotional because he knew Laura. Laura has called him a few days before she went to Pakistan. in order to get some advice from him.
Yeah.
And for me, there it changed a lot about Simon's plans to go to Pakistan. I really kind of got scared of him as well.
Yeah.
I was grieving Laura at the same time, even though I didn't know about her before. And the whole situation felt very, very, very different after this shooting day with Simon.
Yeah. And talking about you, you're the director, but you also the co-writer. Is that sometimes tricky for you? Is like there a conflict between like what the writer wants and what the director feels is necessary? Or are you very good at balancing this?
I think I am very good at balancing this. I can imagine someone's life, of course, before shooting with him. But at the same time, I know, like I said before already, life is very unpredictable.
Yeah.
And I enjoy being on set. I enjoy these moments when all my plans crash down. I really,
really
do.
Okay.
I really do. This is really living life at its most for me, in a way. You have to adapt to the new situation and you have to adapt to your protagonist. And it makes me feel very alive. This is what it is, documentary filmmaking for me.
Okay. Talking about documentary filmmaking a little bit more, your films have covered a wide variety of subjects and stories. What would you say is your creative through line, if you could put it in a couple of sentences, if that's possible?
Yeah, it's very hard for me to say so. Creative through line. I think I answered it already a bit with the questions before. I think I will still go on tackling taboos.
Yeah.
Trying to dig deep, trying to make subtle emotions visible.
Yeah.
Emotions we kind of share, all of us. So when the audience watches my films, they kind of see themselves a bit in some situations, although they are not on high mountains or they are not part of the mafia or whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I think I will continue this path.
Yeah.
This way, I think.
Yeah. Making any film, but specifically, I think with documentary films, they take up several years, a lot of pre-planning, pre-talks, and then the filming, depending on, I mean, for Simon, Austin Schatten, it was like one intense year, but obviously there's a lot of pre-post-production happening. How hard is it for you to say goodbye to the people, to the story, and let everything go out into the world?
I do feel a kind of a sorrow when the last shooting day approaches, because you get used to each other. And as a documentary film team, it can feel like you're part of his world for a while. You do have your own life, but kind of feels that you have a second life. You become very close to other people and other situations, and you think about them a lot.
Yeah.
It's interesting. In the editing process, then the sorrow goes away slowly, I would say.
Okay.
So it's nice to say goodbye in a slow way. So, and then at the premiere, yeah, it's always nice to see the protagonists again and to feel the same emotions together. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, this curiosity, what is going to happen with the film?
Wow.
It's also very, very exciting.
And talking about what's happening with the film, I know it's still a bit early because the film hasn't premiered yet, but, as is usual in the post-production process and process in general, some people have seen it. Are you happy with the reactions to the film so far, and also what you and your team have set out to tell in this film?
Well, this kind of film could not live without the support of the main protagonist.
Yeah.
So for me, this was crucial from the beginning to show it to Simon before picture lock. Went to South Tyrol to see him together with the producer, Georg Schurchenthaler. We showed it to Simon, we showed it to his wife, Anna, to his climbing partner, Martin, and to his mentor and friend, Hans Peter. All these people are also part of the film. And we had a screening together, and the reaction was really very positive. It was quite overwhelming for me. It could gone wrong. for me, it was very unpredictable.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that. I'm happy that Simon likes the film.
Yeah.
I'm happy that Simon wants to come to the premiere together mm-hmm. with his family and friends. So, yeah.
Yeah. And for the end, I have a few rapid fire questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular story that you would still like to tackle?
Too many to count.
Very good. What would you say is maybe the biggest misconception about the work of a documentary director or maybe the role of documentary filmmaking in general?
Now, often people tell me, your documentary film looks like a movie.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So they can't sort of tell the difference between a documentary and a feature. Interesting. You've been doing this work for a while now. Has the work changed over the years? That can be obviously an external change, technical change, or internal, as in how you yourself approach the work.
I need to think about this question.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously I changed a lot throughout the years and making all these great experiences when filmmaking. But I would say I was quite radical when I was studying film, radical in the sense of I wanted to make an artistic piece of film for myself, regardless of whether the film attracts a big audience or not.
Yeah.
And I think this changed a lot throughout the years. For me now, it is the greatest gift if one of my films or series have a big audience mm-hmm. and really find a large audience. This is a very satisfying feeling.
Yeah. I would imagine, because it's like almost a conversation that you have with the audience, even though you don't communicate directly, but you show them a point of view and they watch it and they can take it in, talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. I can give you an example. When, my last project was a 5-part series for Arte ARD about the Drangheta, Calabrian Mafia. And a few weeks ago, the producer called me and told me that 8.5 million Germans
wow. yeah.
saw this series. And for me, it was like, wow, it's amazing because, you work very hard for a quite long time on a project. Especially in this case, for us, it was important that the Germans get to know about this mm-hmm. type of mafia. And this is so fulfilling when you get these kind of numbers.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Really good. And finally, can you share which project you are or will be working on next?
That's also a good question. I think all of us directors have always a few projects on our desks. Yeah, one would be like being in my 40s and talking to my female friends.
Mm-hmm.
I came to realize that female sexuality, mm-hmm. for example, a female orgasm, can still be a taboo.
Yeah.
And I think this might be one of my next projects.
All right. That was it. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. It was very nice talking to you.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.